quite sharp showers. Those could just come with a slim risk of a rumble of thunder, but they'll be few and far between. Most will stay dry and pleasantly warm in the sunshine, 19 to 21 Celsius, the highs here. And for Scotland, it's a similar sort of story of a misty grey start for some. Some of the misty low clouds stay near eastern coast into the afternoon, limited to temperatures to around 11, but inland, 16 to 21 degrees, just with the odd shower possible. Alan.
Thanks, Matt. Now on Radio 4, we begin our new book of the week, Maggie and Me by Damien Barr, a memoir of growing up in a small town in Scotland in the shadow of Ravenscraig Steelworks. For young Damien, growing up in the 1980s and as tensions flare at home, Margaret Thatcher's strength speaks to him as a vulnerable young boy who finds in her an unlikely heroine.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Muppet Show!
It's time to play the music. It's time to light the lights.
It's time to play the music. It's time to light the light. It's time to meet the Muppets on The Muppet Show tonight.
Mum, it's The Muppet Show.
It's time to dress up right.
She stretches the towel between her arms, ready to wrap me up tight before getting ready to carry me downstairs. A ritual I'm getting too old and too big for, but which is still allowed if my dad's out at work. It's 1980, I'm just 4 years old. She scoops me up, carrying me into the living room where the curtain is going up on our most favourite programme in the whole world ever. It's time to put on makeup, it's time to dress up right, it's time to get things started. We sing along, and Kermit announces that this week's special guest is Superman. Me and my mum gasp, "You love that Superman, don't you, son?" I nod and leap off her lap. Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. I do the theme and land in her lap just in time to hear a key in the back door. Can it be? Is that my dad home early from the Craig? Are all the best things in the world really happening at once? Dad! I zoom at him, Superman style, hitting the cold air he brings in from outside. My dad is always minerals. The whites of his eyes and his smiling falsers sparkle out from the coal black rest of him. My dad works regular shifts at Ravenscraig, pouring out tons of liquid steel. Not long after the sun goes down, we get a second sunset here. It starts with a dull, big, deep boom you feel in your chest, and then there's a massive clanking like God's dropped his cutlery drawer on the scullery floor. And then silence as the sky glows pink, then orange, then red, before fading back. This show only lasts until they finish emptying the furnaces. My dad makes the sunset twice every night, and he does it just for me. "How's my Superboy?" he asks, grizzling in to kiss the back of my neck. Thanks to my dad's bulging Friday pay packet from the Craig, we've got the only colour telly on Ardgar Place. Me and my mum have a strict telly diet of hot sweet tea, a Tunnock's tea cake or two or three, and heart to heart. My mum wants to be Mrs. Heart, and I do too. I'm now in primary two, and last week the whole school had an emergency assembly, and Miss Carey, the headmistress, told us calmly that we were at war with Argentina. Even I didn't know what it was until she showed us on the globe.
It's just a rumour that was spread around town by the women and children. Soon we'll be shipbuilding.
I hope the war doesn't come here, because I don't want my dad to have to be a soldier. We watch the BBC News at 1, and it's all Union Jacks and boats and planes. Two teachers point and laugh when they show Maggie wearing a headscarf driving a tank, but I think she looks good, brave, glamorous even. She'll show them. 1984. I run home from school and burst through the back gate, reaching the steps before it's even clicked closed. On the top step I hear shouting, and inside the house is suitcases and tears. My mum's trying to pull the rings from her fingers, but she can't get them off, and my dad's saying she's brought it all on herself. My sister Tini is 3, she's bawling, and I run to her and cuddle her and tell her it'll all be okay. I'm leaving, and I'm taking them with me, shouts my mum, and I think she means her rings. Then I see she means us. Come on, Damien, she shouts, grabbing at my hand. She never shouts, and she never ever shouts at me. There's never been a row in this house, not that I've heard. I don't understand any of this. My dad sits me on his knee. You're the man of the house now, he says. I turn round to cuddle him, and my arms still don't go all the way round. I'm not going anywhere, Daddy, I say. I'm 8 years old. Me and my mum are stuck to the BBC 9 o'clock news in this strange new flat. We watch ambulances, police cars and fire engines, me-maw, in black and white on the portable, balancing on top of a tea chest. This morning the removal van came to take us to flat 1, number 1, Magdalen Drive, Carfin. My dad is back at number 25, Ardgar Place, Newark Hill, with the big colour telly. My wee sister Teenie has cried herself to sleep in my mum's lap. Our old life is crammed in the cardboard boxes bursting all around us. It's way past my bedtime, but rules are already being broken. On the telly, this blonde woman rises from rubble again and again like a Cyberman off Doctor Who. All around her, the hotel is collapsing as bloody bodies are pulled out, but she stays calm. She's talking to the BBC with a man's voice, and even the police stop to listen. Life must go on as usual, she insists, as if life will do exactly what she tells it. The telly was first to get unpacked. The news was already on when Logan plugged it in. According to all the arguments I've overheard, he is the man my mum is leaving my dad for. He thumped it hard, and the picture cleared to show Maggie walking away from the bombed hotel. He shook his head. Maggie's not dead. He can't believe it. Neither can my mum. They hate her, and they say she hates Scotland, hates us. But all the people on the BBC seem glad she made it, and secretly, I am too. I don't want to see her dead. She's not done anything to me. I'd like to brush the dust from her big blonde hair like she's a Girl's World doll and tell her it'll all be all right. Of course, I can't admit this. I'm now in primary 4. We're doing decimals and they're so boring I want to die. They seem pointless. The week we went from familiar fractions to decimals, I was off with an asthma attack. For the first time ever, I don't understand what Mr. Baker is blethering about, and I won't ask because everybody in the class will look at me and laugh. I'm used to feeling embarrassed about being the tallest and the skinniest and my broken home, but I'm not used to feeling stupid, so I stay quiet. Mr. Baker looks at his watch. I can see it's nearly 11 a.m. He should be sending the milk monitor out to fetch the crate soon. School milk is watery and slightly grey and too warm. But at the end of the day, spare milks are given out as prizes for answering general knowledge questions, and sometimes I take the milk home for my mum's tea. This week, Amanda Ferguson is our milk monitor, and she's shifting in her seat next to me, ready to dash to the door on Mr. Baker's command. Mr. Baker, sir, the milk, she says, as if there is a tidal wave of milk that will drown us all if we don't do something now. Thank you, Amanda, he says. There will be no more milk. The Prime Minister of England has stopped free milk in schools down there already, and now she's trying to stop it up here as well. And if she does, we won't be needing any milk monitors anymore. Amanda Ferguson might lose her job. We all might. Her mouth forms a perfect O. Every day before and after school, when Logan's out in his British Gas van, I beg my mum to get back together with my dad. I start politely, but it always ends with tears. And why? She turns away. Your daddy's got Mary the Canary now, anyway. Mary the Canary lives in a cloud of perfume and colours. She's an auxiliary nurse by day and a country and western singer by night. Bedpans and power ballads.
Our little boy is 4 years old and he's quite a little man.
She is the other woman and I'm being trained to hate her. Her feet are always crammed into 5-inch heels that boost her to all of 5'5". She's a lipsticked, cat-nailed everything my mum is not. I'm gripped by her glamour, but I can't let on. Her hair is the blondest and biggest I've ever seen, way bigger than Maggie's even. My dad can't take his eyes off her. None of us can. My dad gets us every second weekend now. Did he not want us more? I still don't really believe I'll have to stay here with Logan, this red-faced man who makes the air shake. He calls me Pussy Willow when my mum's not there, that or Jessie or Princess. He hates me. He knows I'm different and sets about making me hate myself before I know myself. Every day I dread it, fear the school bell at 3 o'clock. I walk the half mile back to Carf Inn, measuring each curbstone in 6 baby steps, and I take 1 step back for every 6 forward. This way, I make a 15-minute journey last 45 minutes. One day I get back and my Auntie Louisa is standing in the scullery where my mum should be. I taste the air for Logan. He's not here. "It's just me," she says, too cheerful, and I breathe out, but not all the way. "Where's my mum?" I ask, trying to sound like I don't think there's anything wrong. "Auntie Louisa, where's my mum?" "She's away, son." "Away? Away where?" "She's at the hospital in Glasgow, Damien, son. She's not well. Now, don't cry, son. She'll be all right. She's not going to die, Damien." "Die? Damien? She called me Damien. Only my mum calls me Damien. What if she never gets to call me Damien again?" I ask what's wrong with my mum and she says something about a hemorrhage and I ask her to spell it so I can look it up in the class dictionary, but she can't. It's something to do with her brain and we're all to pray for her. I pray for my mum to come home every night, but every day I wake up and she's still not here. Since my mum went into hospital, I've been doing all her chores. Logan likes things done a certain way. He calls me Cinders. Every morning before school, I brush the ashes from the fireplace in the living room. The first morning Logan tells me to clean out the fire, I put the ashes in a plastic bucket I find under the scullery sink. Some hot bits melt the plastic, and I trail grey ash behind me all through the flat. I brace myself, but Logan just hands me a brush and I sweep it up and that's that. Next morning, the wee brass stand that holds the brush and shovel is empty. "Use your hands," says Logan, standing over me. I start scooping the silky warm ashes up into the metal bucket he's provided, and at first they feel nice, like the sand on the beach at Portobello where my dad took us one weekend. But then they get hotter, and soon tiny red jewels like the ends of cigarettes are stuck all over my skin, and I try shaking them off, but they're burnt on. If I singe the carpet, I'll be in trouble. Breathing deeply through my nose without turning round or making a noise, I lift out all the ashes and fill the metal bucket. Then, careful not to rush, I twist yesterday's Daily Record into kindling, reading the headlines as I go. "Maggie beat the miners," they say. Only when I'm outside, emptying the bucket into the ash bin, do I pick the now black embers from my hands. I cry quietly, because crying can turn a beating into a rattling. So you don't cry. Teeny doesn't cry much, but I make sure I take any blame for her. She's my wee sister, and I'm the man of the house now.
Damien Barr was reading from his memoir Maggie and Me. It was abridged by Sean Priest and was produced by Allegra McElroy. This is BBC Radio 4. It's 12 minutes to 1. Now here's the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015. Today, Tuesday, the 4th of June. The general synopsis at 1800. High 40s, 1033, moving slowly northwestwards and losing its identity by 1800 Tuesday. New low expected southern Norway, 1021, by same time. The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking, variable becoming north 3 or 4, increasing 5 to 7 later. Fog patches at first in the west, moderate or good, occasionally very poor at first in the west. North Utsira, northwesterly 4 or 5, veering northerly 5 to 7 later. Fair, good. South Utsira, northwesterly 5 or 6, decreasing 4 for a time. Fair, good.